six adults and one child went to Africa through our connection and partnership with Joseph Wamatitu, who is originally from Africa but now has a church in Marietta. We had the privilege of going out there and ministering, doing both practical business-type seminars and also preaching the gospel in main sessions. What a wonderful opportunity it was for us. Now, we knew Joseph well, but when we arrived in Nairobi, Kenya, we met Pastor David Degwa, who is the local pastor there, and we heard of his heart for his people, the passion that he has to reach Kenyans with the gospel, how he serves as the board chair of the Africa Hope Center. And upon meeting him in those 10 days, God put it on our hearts to say, this man needs to come to the United States and share with us like we had the privilege of sharing with his people. And so for the very first time in the United States, Pastor David has come. Would you give him the most warm welcome that you can? Please come and share with us, brother.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing.
God bless you. Thank you. Amen. God bless you, Pastor Chris. Once again, let me take this opportunity and thank all of you for coming, that you may be able to hear the Word of God. I want to thank God for this opportunity. Like Pastor Chris has said, it's my very first time to come to the United States of America. I never planned for it, but I thank God because He facilitated the trip. I really thank God for that. You know, when God makes connections, it is good that we retain connections that God has made for us. According to me, this connection is divine. And I think that is why I'm here today, all the way from Africa. As Pastor has said, I pastor a congregation in Nairobi. Nairobi is the capital city of Kenya. This is the place they visited last year for a conference. And I think it is very important that I report to you that these men were a blessing to us. They ministered to us in the conference, and our people loved them. They were very down to earth. They were able to share the gospel in simplicity, and our people were able to hear the word of God. So I want to appreciate this church because I know you people sent them. They represented you well. And I want to continue to keep this relationship. I would desire that you also come and see what we do in Africa. Any of you most likely have never been to Africa. I promise you when you come, we'll host you. You will see how we live, where we, what we eat, and the kind of ministry that we have. As Pastor has said, I oversee the school. We have a school in our ministry. Our ministry is called Christian Missions Fellowship. We also have an orphanage, Africa Hope Center, where we have orphans who are orphaned through HIV because their parents died through AIDS. And we felt that we have a responsibility to be able to meet that need that was there in our community. We thank God because of the transformation that is taking place. When you see these kids grow and have food to eat, they have a place to live, and they have hope, we feel gratified. And according to me, this is the will of God. Because when you meet somebody without hope, and you are there to provide that hope for that person, you are doing the will of God. At the same time also, we have a mission, an outreach post, because our ministry is purely on missions. We don't love just having a congregation, just coming and going. We want to reach out. This outreach post is in a place called Laisamis. It's around 300 miles north of Kenya. The people are nomads. If you go at Google, some of the unleashed tribe groups in the world, you find the Redire. We have adopted that tribe group. We have a church there of 35 Redires. These people are nomads. they move from one place to another with their animals. But by the grace of God, we are able to train one of the dealers to be a pastor. He is taking care of that church of that five people. And we pray that God will help us, that we may be able to build a church there. Already we had some well-wishers. We are able to sink a borehole in that community. And these people are enjoying clean water because they are people who stood. And they are able to cater for that financially. So even you sending people to come, we never took it for granted. Pastor Chris, together with Mike and your wife, together with Phil. Where is Phil today? These people were a blessing to us. God bless you. Also, the women were ministered unto. They were telling me when I was coming, please tell them to come again. Also, you people ministered to a group of pastors, because in that community we have many pastors. And in a forum of pastors, and the pastor came with a number of books, and they are able to relay a joy that these people came in a conference, and they were able to carry books for pastors. They appreciated very much. And pastor, they said that that they loved it, and they are praying for you so that you may be able to come back again. So may God bless you for your hospitality. I still continue to feel a lot of warmth in among you people. I feel loved, and I thank God for you. Because of time, it is important that I share the word of God this morning. And if you wouldn't mind, please stand together with me. I know that it has been read, but I think it is important that we read the verse that is guiding us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 23. I would have started in 19, but that was led. But I think it is important that we read this verse. You can be able to underline it in your Bible. You do yourself a lot of good. This is what it says according to King James Version. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verses 23. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. If you can go back to verses 19, there is something that Paul talks about that according to me is very important, where he says in 19 and 20, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself a servant unto all, that I might gain them all. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. 22, inasema, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you because we are in your presence this morning. We came, my Father, that you may be able to speak to us. And I pray, my Lord in heaven, that through your servant who stands in front of these people, you'll be able to speak this word to them in a way that they are going to understand. We want to submit fully to you, dear Holy Spirit, that you may be able to help us to understand the word of God. My prayer is that none who has come in your presence today who will be able to go out the same way he came in, because you are willing to speak to them the word of God. Thank you, my Lord in heaven, because you know them even by their names. You know what they are going through. And I want to thank you because of your love towards each one of them, that you are here to minister to them at the very point of their need. We want to thank you, Father, because we know that you are going to speak to us. We bless you and we honor you in Jesus' name. Let us say amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I want to talk about what that verse that I've just read say, that all for the gospel. Say, all for the gospel. One of the most unfortunate things that I see is to have men and women who have received the gospel, but the gospel has not changed them. Because according to me, the reason why we received the good news is that the good news may be able to change us. And this is what Paul is talking about. Paul was changed by the gospel of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. He is saying words here that touches my heart. That though I am free, he considered himself to be free. He is saying, I opted to become a servant. I opted to become a slave. Even where I know that I am free. That shows that Paul understood what happened to him. When Jesus came into his life on his way to Damascus, Paul's life changed completely. He was no longer the Saul that we knew who used to persecute Christians. He was totally changed by the good news of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that is why he is saying, I know that I am free, but I have opted to be a slave unto all men, that I may be able to win them to Christ. He says that to the Jews, he wanted to become a Jew, because he discovered that God loved the Jews. And he wanted the Jews into the kingdom of God. He said that he wanted to go to those who are outside the law. Because he knew that God loves those who are outside the law. He said that I want to go to those who are in the law. Because even God loves those who are in the law. He continues to say that to the weak, I became as a weak person. Because he discovered that even the weak people, Jesus is interested in them. So this is what we are seeing here. That it is, we must do all, brothers and sisters, for the gospel. That is why it is important that we can come out of our comfort zones and be able to go where? Even where we don't want to live. We can be able to approach people whom we do not love. Because we have been touched by the love of God. Whenever a man or a woman is touched by the love of God, that man or a woman cannot remain the same again. Brothers and sisters, why have you not become anything? Because the gospel came so that it may be able to change us. It's supposed to change our attitude. It's supposed to change our way of thinking. We can be living there, up there. But because of the love of Christ, we can be able to come down. So that we may be able to reach to the people who are down there. This is what gospel is about, brothers and sisters. And that is why I'm saying we can sit here and we can excel. We can be doing well in our lives. We can be able to say that we go to the Southern Baptist Church. But if we do not do what Jesus loves, we'll not be doing the will of God. So I want to challenge you this morning. Because this word is a very powerful word according to me. And I think it is important for you to realize that you have received a treasure. All those who are in Christ Jesus, you have received a treasure. And it is not the will of God for you to die with that treasure. It is so important that you cannot just let it go. There was a reason why God put it into yourself. Don't allow that treasure that you received through Christ to die with you. Make sure, as Paul is trying to tell us, that I became all things so that I may be able to win as many people as possible into the kingdom of God. What are you doing as a Christian this morning? What are you doing? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, this freedom that Paul is talking about, which he has received through Christ, is greater freedom than the freedom that you people in America enjoy. We are the beneficiaries of the cost paid by the Son of God. Through Christ, we have received a treasure that we cannot allow it to go. We cannot lose it. And I think that is why in another portion of Scripture, Paul says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the excellence of the power may not be taken to be ours. It is not ours. It belongs to an owner. It belongs to Christ. What are you doing with that treasure? Why are you saved in the first place? Because there is a reason why you are saved. If you are saved to go to heaven, God could have taken you to heaven immediately the moment you got saved. But you are still alive today. 30 years after salvation. 40 years after salvation. 5 years after salvation. What have you done with that treasure that God has deposited into you? Because what you received, my brother, is a treasure. You cannot just afford to take it for granted. It is precious to the Master who saved you and who saved me. We cannot allow this treasure to just die with us. That is why it is important to realize that mission is very, very important. Mission is important, my brother, my sister. And I thank God because of Jesus. We read from the book of Luke chapter 19 verses 10. That he left heaven to earth. And the word of God says that he came to seek and to find that which was lost. You can imagine our Lord. He left heaven. There is no scarcity in heaven. There is plenty. We read from the Bible that the streets of heaven, they are paved with gold. Yet the Son of God left heaven, he came to earth. A place that is not good. Because he had a mission to seek and to find that which was lost. That's why Jesus came. That's why he came and suffered here. Because you are an important person before the eyes of God. And I thank God we read from the Bible that for this, for so God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in the Son may not perish, but have eternal life. We are not talking about the world of trees or the world of rivers and mountains. We are talking about the world of a human being. Wow, you and me, according to God, human beings are important. Men are important. And that is why the Bible says that it is not the will of God that any should perish. The will of God is all may come into the kingdom of God. And that is why it is not good for you and me to keep quiet. We have a treasure. We have neighbors who do not know Jesus. We have people who are perishing out there. And instead of going and giving these people hope, we want to say that we are saved. We want to just rejoice that we are going to heaven without knowing that God loves those people who are out there. Those drunkards that you see, God loves them. God, Jesus died for them. He wants to save them. They are important in the world in the eyes of God. Hallelujah, brothers and sisters. Tell your neighbor that you have a treasure. Please help me, please, to that brother and that sister. Tell him that you have a treasure. And you cannot afford to die with that treasure. It is so precious. It is so precious. Please, let another person know about Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is a sad thing, brothers and sisters. A sad thing that for you not to become anything after your encounter with the Master. Paul says that he has received a freedom. This freedom Paul is talking about is greater freedom than the freedom that we have. Even the freedom that we have here in America. I know you people are very free, and I said it when I was talking to you down there, that you people are very blessed people. You are called a superpower. Your economy is the best in the world. You people enjoy. You enjoy one of the best democracies in the world. You have the best of the foods. I said that you have freedom of worship. You have freedom of speech. You have freedom of movement. Americans are free people. So the freedom that I'm talking about is the one that Paul is saying, that I know that I'm free. God has got no grudge against me. He doesn't point an accusing finger unto me. Because through Christ Jesus, I became accepted. I have become a child of God. God loves me. He cares for me. It is at this juncture he's saying that I have received this freedom. But even if I am not a slave to any man, I am not a captive to any man, but I thank God I am free. I am going to go out of my way. And I'm going to do anything that is humanly possible to bring as many people as possible to the kingdom of God. And that is why he's saying that I am denying myself all comfort. Even if I have this freedom, when I go to the Jew, I will stay like Jews. Because I want to bring the Jews into the kingdom of God. If I go to the Gentiles, and you know the dividing line that was there between the Jews and the Gentiles, those people could not meet eye to eye. The Jews considered themselves to be superior, that they could not be able to dine with the Gentiles. And here comes Paul, a Jew. He's saying that even to those who are weak, to those who are outside the law. Those who are outside the law are the Gentiles. Myself, I'm a Gentile from Africa. I was not in the commonwealth of the Israel. I am a Gentile from Africa. But here comes a Jew called Paul. And he is saying that I am willing to come to your level. Because you are important to Jesus. Because Jesus loves you and he wants you to come to the kingdom. This is what Paul is talking about. That to the weak, I became as those who are very weak. Because they are important. God wants them to come to the kingdom. So what are we saying, brothers and sisters? Any man or woman who is outside Christ, whether he is an American or an African, that man is lost according to God. If you are outside Christ and you are in this service this morning, the best that you could do, my brother, my sister, is to come to Jesus. And the reason why we preach the gospel, so that those who are outside Christ may come to Christ. So that they may be able to find life. Because outside Christ there is no life. Don't be cheated by anybody. Probably you are living the best of the lives. Probably you have a lot of money in your account. But I would like you to know, according to God, if you are outside Christ, you are a lost person. It doesn't matter where you are. Whether, I don't know, but you are lost. That's what the Word of God says. And I thank God because I have met here with the people who love Jesus. It is good to love Jesus. But I would like you to know that we have a responsibility. We have a duty, those of us who are saved, to reach out to those who are not saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Paul felt obligated to do anything that is humanly possible in order to bring all types of people into the kingdom of God. According to Matthew 28:19-20, you know the Great Commission. We are commanded to go into all the world. And I have said that it is not the world of animals and trees. It is not the world of rivers and mountains. It's the world of human beings. Human beings are important to God. It is not the will of God any man should perish. If it happens that you perish, you will not be able to blame him because he has provided a way out. That's why Jesus has come. He has come so that we may be able to find life. And I thank God because of the people who are saved. We are saved, yes. But please, brothers and sisters, let us be that aggressive that those who are connected to us will be able to know Christ. I remember sometimes I lived in Mombasa. I worked there as a salesman. Mombasa is the coastal town of Mombasa of Nairobi. And I remember there was a man who lived near where I was staying. He was always drunk. And I remember one evening I went to him and I spoke to him about Jesus. I told him, Jesus loves you. And I told him, it is important that you come to him because he has already expressed his love to you. And I remember that the man insulted me. I felt bad, but I could not be able to express it before him. And the following day, I passed where he was living. This man went to drink, and he could not be able to arrive home because he was so drunk. And it rained heavily that evening. He was taken by floods, and I saw him while going to work somewhere, and I thought he was alive. He was not alive. I felt very devastated. But I thank God that I had an opportunity to share with him the gospel. That even if he insulted me, I talked to him about the gospel of Christ. So that is why it is important. If you have relatives who do not know Jesus, even if it will make you to travel, spend money, put gas into your car and travel, and talk to them about Jesus, you'll be able to do them a lot of good. Because that is why you are saved and they are not saved. You remember what Paul told that jailer? He told them that when you get saved, you are going to get saved. You, together with your family members. Hallelujah. When you get saved in your family, you are the only one who is saved in your family. Don't rejoice. If your brothers and sisters do not know Jesus, please take a time and go and speak to them the gospel. Because most likely, you will give an account before God one day that you received Christ, yet you never shared Christ with your brothers and sisters. It is very, very important that you talk to him, talk to her concerning Jesus. He better refuses to receive Jesus, but please know that it is your duty. Because we have not given him anything. That we are saved, that they are not saved. So that is why it is important. In fact, if every one of us who is here today, if you become a witness, that will make sure that you speak to your neighbor concerning Jesus, Pastor Chris, this church will be very, very small. Or you don't know who is a witness. A witness is somebody who stands on the court of law and testifies what is so happening. That's what a witness is. And that is why Paul was a very good witness. Paul, everywhere he went, he talked about his encounter with Jesus on his way to Damascus. When he stood before Governor Felix, and when he stood before King Agrippa, even without opening the book of the law, he talked about the encounter he had with Christ. He was always saying, it was at the middle of the day, and I and my friends, we are going to Jerusalem. When I heard a voice, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Listen to me, my brothers and my sisters. Even if you do not have a word of God, you can give your testimony. Your testimony is enough to bring many people into the kingdom of God. Your testimony is very important. How did you encounter with Jesus? What happened? It is very important that you know about it. And we have the best of the examples from Apostle Paul. Because whenever he had an opportunity, he was always talking about his encounter. How he met with Jesus on the way to Damascus. How did you get saved? How did you get saved? Why don't you share with your people in the office about Jesus? Hallelujah, brothers and sisters. I want you to be a witness. Because the moment you become a witness, you are going to share the gospel with somebody in the office. You will tell somebody in your neighborhood. Sometimes you will put gas in your car and you go looking for somebody. And you share with him the gospel. I thank God because I received Jesus through my wife. She was always praying for me. And I was refusing to go to church. But she kept on persisting, on pushing me to go to church. I remember one morning I said, I will go. I will go that I may make you happy. Want to make you happy today. And I took our child and we went to church. Unawares that that was the day that shall come to meet with Jesus. I thank God because of my wife. She talked to me about Jesus. Now I am her pastor. Hallelujah. You don't know. Probably the person whom you are going to preach to is going to become Billy Graham of 21st century. You never know. But as long as you continue to keep quiet, that you don't talk, you are ashamed. Why are you ashamed of the gospel? What does the Bible say? That if you are ashamed of him here, when we go to heaven, he's going to be ashamed of you. He will not talk about you because you are ashamed of him. We need to talk about Jesus. So even if you do not have a verse that you can quote from the Bible, give your testimony. I remember when I got saved, after I got healed of cancer, I thank God. I was seeking for opportunities. Every place where there are crusades, I understand here you do not have crusades. I wanted to go and ask for permission to talk to people about Jesus, to give my testimony. And I could give my testimony how Jesus saved me and how he healed me of cancer. Even before the preacher stands to speak in that crusade, people used to come and get saved because of my testimony. Because I used to tell them that God gave me a new lease of life. I would have died many years ago, thank God. Because he made me to leave and come to America so that I may be able to give you my testimony, so that I may be able to encourage you, so that I may be able to give you hope, so that I may be able to encourage you and lift your spirit up. Because that's what Christianity is about. Encouraging each other. Going to the people who do not have hope and tell them that there is hope. Many other times I go to hospitals. I normally go to the hospital where they are terminally ill people, those who suffer from cancer. They like to tell them that, my brother, my sister, you don't have to die of cancer. Jesus is there for you. And I will give them my testimony. I will tell them, you see, Ward 40, I was there for 3 months. I went through chemotherapy. I went through radiotherapy. And Jesus healed me. Sometimes I could lose my hair. So when you go to hospital and talk to people like that, people who are terminally ill, people who doctor said that they are not going to live, let me tell you, you will give those people hope. Because the reason why many people die, they don't die because of the sickness. They die first psychologically because in their minds, they see cancer, they see AIDS, HIV. But the moment you give them hope and tell them, in Jesus, you can be able to live again, the way I lived again. I tell you, many are the times I go there, and those people change their countenance. Because I give them hope. I talk to them with a lot of conviction that you don't have to die because Jesus is there for you. Because he gave me another chance to live. And that is why I'm in America today. I could have died 30 years ago, but now I'm alive so that I may be able to give hope to the hopeless. So that whenever I meet with those who suffer from cancer, I can be able to express to them the love of Jesus.
So this is put this way. It's okay.
I have never done this in my church. I normally use this one. So this is what we are talking about, brothers and sisters. You go to the weak people. And this is what Paul is talking about. Paul was touched by the love of Jesus. When a man or a woman is touched by the love of Jesus, he changes his attitude. He is able to love as Christ loves. He is able to care as Christ cares. He is able to meet needs as Christ has met needs. If you are touched by the love of Jesus, you can imagine here is a persecutor. Paul was a very bad person. If Paul is living in the world today, you could have called him a terrorist because he was a very dangerous person. But the moment he was touched by the love of Jesus, he changed his attitude. Even the people whom he hated, he was willing to eat with them. Because the love of Jesus changed his attitude. So if this love has not changed you, I'd like this love to touch you today. Because if you are touched by the love of Jesus, you will not remain the same again. The reason why I left the work that I used to do, it was because of the same. I felt that I needed more time so that I may share with the people the gospel of the kingdom, to tell them that there is hope. And that's what I do every day. So I was saying, if all of you today become a witness, wherever you are, in your neighborhood, in the offices where you work, because there you have got people who are not saved, this church will be a very small church. Because every seat, every pew will be occupied. So that is why I came to tell you, be a witness. Even if there is no fast that you have hidden in your heart. No, I realize that there are people come to church. I don't know whether it is the same here in Africa. And People do not even know the Bible. They are saved, yes. And sometimes I make a joke. I like us to open the book of Genesis. And you find some people trying to look for the book of Genesis in the Bible. Because they do not read their Bible. My brothers and sisters, the Word of God is alive. The Word of God is alive. The Word of God is life. These words I speak to you, they are life and they are spirit. Hallelujah, brothers and sisters. So I want you to become a witness from today henceforth. And Pastor, if you allow me, I want to pray with the people today here. You have never spoken to anybody. Your brother is there and you know that he is going to hell. And you have continued to keep quiet. The time has come for you to talk to that brother, to talk to that sister about Jesus, so that you may also be able to know Jesus. That's why we are saved. And that's why the Bible says that I become all things. What do you understand by that? I became all things. I became all things. That I became flexible. Because I had one mission to talk to many people as possible about the love of Jesus. Hallelujah. Bwana asifiwe. Do you know the love of Jesus has made even us to love people whom we don't feel like loving them? Like where the mission that I have talked to you about, that is in Laisamis, it's over 300 miles from Nairobi. These people are nomads. Some, the ladies do not, they wear clothes up to this. Their breasts are not covered. And that is their way of life. That is their culture. They move from one place to another place with their animals, looking for water. And God has enabled us to love these people. We have built a small church there. The other day we were able to sink a borehole to these people. And through that, they have started to see these people are not as bad as we thought they are. Even if they look more advanced than we are, they are friends to us. They have started to come to church. That is why I'm saying, brothers and sisters, if God charges you to go to Africa, be willing to go to Africa. You eat what Africans eat. You live in homes which Africans live. And that's why I was making a joke. I'm saying you people live better than anybody of us. Your children go to the best of the schools. Your food, you have variety of food. Sometimes I go through there and I cannot be able, I don't know whether this is food that is really edible because I don't see this food in our place. But you people have all this that shows that God has blessed you. This freedom that God has given you, please use it and say like Paul, that I am not a slave to any man, but because of Christ, I am willing to become nothing, that I may be able to reach these people, so that through me, they may be able to come to Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I worked, I was always in charge of a branch. There was a time I was a manager. I made sure where I was working, every time we opened the branch, I used to read them in a word of prayer, and I used to read the first from the Bible. He used to call me a pastor many years before I became a pastor. Because I wanted every opportunity not to be wasted. And I remember sometimes we are called by the company in a very big hotel. And they asked me to come and pray. I didn't fear anybody. Even my bosses were there in the high table. I took a microphone. The way I pray in the church is the way I prayed there. Because they were saying, you man, you prayed until the lights went off. Because I could not fear. But
Sometimes you wonder, why do people fear? Are you ashamed of Christ who saved you? Why are you not courageous enough to talk about him wherever you are? Let people know that this Jesus is something to you, that you are not ashamed of him. And if you take somebody very convincingly and you always talk about him with passion, people will know this man must be having something that is not normal. And they want to know about him. Because you always talk about him. Sometimes you may go somewhere and say, well, come. Come and talk to us about that Jesus you are always talking about. Because they have always seen you talk about him. But the problem we are having is that we always keep quiet. Even where there is a golden opportunity, we keep on keeping quiet. What kind of a witness are you? I came so that you may become a witness. So that in this neighborhood, this church may be known by everybody. You will not be passing flyers, you will be talking about Jesus. And the everybody will start talking, yakwamba. Are these people coming from that brown church that we see as we pass? These people are very troublesome. And they will call you troublesome, but at the end of the day, they will know what you are talking about. You all know about it. And the whole church will be filled to capacity. And you will rejoice when you see the people you talk to about Jesus coming here and rejoicing. Because you shared with them the gospel. Somebody give glory to God this morning. My time is up. You know, I know this is America. This, you know, in Africa, sometimes we keep on talking and talking. But I think it is important that I conclude. If God gives me an opportunity, Pastor, I'll be able to come and share more. But because of time, where is the clock? Hallelujah. I think it's high time that we may be able to conclude by saying, become a witness. Whenever you hear the word of God, please act upon the word of God. What you have heard, there is a reason why you have heard that word that you have heard today. I have met with some elderly people here. You still can be able to share the gospel. Even if you cannot be able to go, you can send somebody who is willing to go. I don't know whether you people send missionaries here. Look for young people whom you can be able to send. Let them come and see. It will be very important. So because I said, do not allow that treasure that God deposited into your spirit to die with you. Pass it to another person. And let us have the example of Jesus. He was willing to leave a place of comfort. He was willing to leave heaven and come here on earth so that he may seek and find that which is lost. And we said that every man or woman without Jesus, he may be very successful according to the worldly eyes, but he is lost or she is lost if he doesn't have Jesus. And that is why it is important that we keep on telling them. Because it is not the will of God that any of them should perish. May God have mercy upon you. I want to pray as we stand. I don't know whether you stand here. If you feel that from today henceforth, because you have heard the word of God, you will be sharing. You will start to say, doing what you have never done before. Talking to your neighbors about Jesus. I want to pray for you. And I know that God is going to give you enablement. They say that a journey of 100 miles begins with one step. If you have never attempted, I'd like you to attempt. And the best I can do is to pray with you so that God may give you enablement. So that whenever an opportunity arises, you will not keep quiet. but you talk about Jesus. And even if you do not have a word that you can quote from the Bible, you can give your personal testimony. The way I used to give my testimony about my encounter with Jesus, how I was healed of cancer. I have given many people hope. And many are those who have come to Jesus because of my testimony. Because even those who are terminally ill, they have received hope in Jesus. Because I never kept quiet. I talked to them about Jesus. And I have seen some getting healed. Because I never became quiet. I always talk about Jesus. So please, I want to pray with somebody. And I want you to make a step today. I mean, I want you to make a decision today. That even if I have never tried, I want to start trying from today. Can we all stand up for a minute? Just raise up your hand from wherever you are, if you want to attempt. I want to promise you, the Spirit of God will enable you. Just raise up your hand from wherever you are. I want to make a prayer. And I thank God for those hands. The Bible says that it is not by might, neither by power. It is by His Spirit. The moment you open your mouth, He's going to put words into your mouth. And you find yourself speaking things that you have never thought about. Because that is why we are alive, brothers and sisters. That is why we are saved. We have received a treasure. So that many may come to know Jesus through your... Just raise up that, at least that hand up high. Father, I want to thank you because these people have handed you a word. And I want to thank you, Father, because these people are so dear to you. They love you, Father. And they have heard the truth of the word of God today. Father, this is the will. This is your will. This is in your heartbeat, Father, that we may reach out. Because, Lord, you love human beings. You love Africans. You love Americans. You love Asians. It is not your will that any of them should perish. Father, I want to pray with these brothers and sisters who want to become witnesses. Even where they have never attempted, I pray for enablement, my Father, that my brothers and my sisters will not keep quiet. And they shall be able to speak. And they will be able to speak it out. And they shall become your witnesses. I pray that your favor will be upon them. That every door that they shall knock, it shall be opened. Because you shall be there together with them. Every man or woman, they shall go and speak unto. They shall be able to stop and listen. Because they shall be together with you. My Father, I want to pray for the members of this church. That this church will be a church that believes in mission. That they shall be willing to go out and impact the world with the gospel of the kingdom. This is your way of building the church. And you said that I shall build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church.